Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we are in Psalm 148 this morning, and that means we're drawing ever closer to Psalm 150, which will come on Friday of this week, Lord willing, if all goes according to plan. Next week is Easter week, Holy Week, the final week of Jesus' life on earth before the death and resurrection. And so we're going to do special things that week where we will be on here Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30. Same schedule, but we won't be doing Psalms. So we'll be doing things from that final week of Jesus' life as we think about and prepare for and lead up to the resurrection. So this will be Psalm 148 to 150 this week. And then our plan is after Easter, we're going to go back, not all the way back to the beginning, because I did the first eight psalms, but we'll start, I think, with Psalm 9 and pick up from there and cover the ones we didn't do. So when I started this last March at the beginning of COVID time, I just thought I would do a few devotionals on a few of my favorite psalms. And so I just did, you know, a scattering, and then I got to Psalm 40, and I just decided, you know what, let's just go through the rest of the Psalms. And so I started at Psalm 40, went through the rest of the Psalms. But before Psalm 40, it was more of a sort of a mix of a few different Psalms. So I'm not sure if I'm going to start with 9 and go straight through 40 and just repeat the ones that I had already done before, or if I'm just going to do the ones that I didn't do before. I haven't decided yet. So you can pray for me to have wisdom on that, what would be the best thing to do. But I am eager and excited to get a complete library of Psalms devotionals out there for you to use anytime you're in the Psalms, for years to come, hopefully, Lord willing. So Psalm 148 this morning is a call to creation, to all of creation, to praise the Lord. It's a wonderful, joyful call, and it gives us an opportunity to think about what it means to praise the Lord, what it means for creation to praise the Lord, what it means for us to praise the Lord, and hopefully it'll be a wonderful, refreshing time for us. Let's pray that the Lord would make it such together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have this morning to be in Psalm 148. We thank you for the many opportunities we have had to be in the Psalms together over this past year, Father. It's been great to be in your word together, and we pray that you would bless our time together this morning, and that you would really write Psalm 148 on our hearts and on our souls, that it would change the way we look at the world, and it would change the way we think about ourselves within your world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord indeed. What a wonderful, stirring psalm. And of course, all these last five psalms, Psalms 146 to 150, are called halal psalms or hallelujah psalms because they all begin and end with this praise the Lord. And I want to start there with that word, because here's that word over and over again. Praise, 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 praise. What does it mean to praise the Lord? Well, the root, the primitive root of the Hebrew word halal means to be clear. And it carries the idea of to shine. And then it also carries with it the idea of to boast. So to praise the Lord, I like sort of taking all those ideas together and thinking, to praise the Lord means to be very clear about who God is. You see, who God truly is obscured by our sin, by our creatureliness, by our natural limitations, by the fallen condition that the world is currently in all of creation. It's not the way that God originally created to be, but it has been profoundly affected by sin. And so we, to praise the Lord, is to bring clarity, right? To bring clarity and to shine a spotlight on the character, the attributes, the works of God. And it is to boast in who God is, right? The Bible tells us not to boast in anything but in the Lord. In the Old Testament, we read, let him who boasts in this, that he knows me, right? And the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, I will boast in nothing save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I was crucified to the world and the world was crucified to me. So to praise the Lord means to make clear who God is, to shine a spotlight on his character, his attributes, and his actions, and to boast in the Lord. So all of that, I think, is contained in this word, halal, praise, praise the Lord. Now, the order of Psalm 148 is interesting. I look at it as calling all creation to praise the Lord. And if you just go through the psalm, it actually mirrors the order of creation that we find in Genesis 1. It begins, though, before Genesis 1's observation of the creation of the heavens and the earth with the angels and the hosts, right? Praise the Lord from the heavens, right? In the heights. I believe this is a reference to the spiritual realm, the heavens of heavens, the third heaven. It's a call to the angels. All his hosts are the armies of heaven, right? So the first people, first group that is called to praise the Lord is the first group that God created, and that is the angelic hosts. Genesis 1 doesn't record the creation of the angelic hosts explicitly, but they were created. They're not eternal beings, and they were created by God before he created the earth. And then we get into this creation, right? The physical creation. And largely it follows sort of in broad brushstrokes, the same pattern that we find unfolded in Genesis 1. And that is sun, moon, and stars, right? I know it doesn't come along till day 4, but after the first 3 days, the things that are created in days 4, 5, and 6 to occupy, it's sun, moon, and stars, it's the waters above the heavens, and then it's, why are they told to praise the Lord? They're told to praise the Lord because he commanded and they were created. So everything that exists ought to praise the Lord because they exist because the Lord created. By his command, by his word of decree. Nothing that exists would exist if God had not commanded it to exist. And so that's actually part of how all of creation praises the Lord is, you know, I was talking to my oldest son, actually my second son, Jeremiah, on the way home from we had a cross-country get-together yesterday, and we were talking about why it is that there's an increase in atheism among younger people, among the younger generation, say the under 40 set. And the under 40 set in America, typically, especially under 35 and even under 30, they're considered digital natives. That's kind of lingo I learned when I was an educator to talk about, you know, millennials and Gen Z. They're digital natives. And that means they grew up with the internet already being a reality in their lives. They grew up with the online world being available to them, right? That was where, how they grew up. My son's 14. He was born in 2007, and that was the year the iPhone came out. But the internet already existed for years before that. Well, there's something about the internet world, which is an artificial world constructed by man, full of man's ideas and man's word, and man's creation, that is, it's not real in a sense, and it sort of separates you from the reality of the actual creation. And there's been studies done that the more somebody spends time online, the more likely they are to be an atheist or an agnostic. And I think it's because creation, the real creation, the actual creation that's outside my window, testifies. It makes clear, right, the existence and attributes of God. It shines a light on the reality of God's existence. That's what Romans 1 tells us, what Psalm 19 tells us. So it's the truth that being out in creation, being around creation, is harder to deny the existence of God than if you're locked in front of a computer screen all day. You might begin to think, well, where is God? Again, not that God is not the Lord over the internet as well, but it's just different. And I think you understand what I'm saying. So all creation is called to praise the Lord because they exist by his creation. And so by existing, they actually call attention to the fact that they were created. And this is interesting language here in verse 6. It's a little thorny spot in Psalm 148. How do we handle this? He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Well, isn't this present heavens and earth going to pass away? Yes, but that doesn't mean that we're going to totally lose created reality, right? We are told that in the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, there will be no need of sun, moon, and stars, all right? You won't need the sun because the Lord God Almighty is in her midst, and her lamp is the Lamb, right, that dwells in the midst of her. But we're not going to lose physical creation. It's going to be redeemed, transformed, glorified, just as our own bodies will be redeemed, transformed, and glorified. So God doesn't have a throwaway creation. And Romans 8 makes this very clear, that the whole creation is groaning with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, because all of creation has been subjected to futility, not of its own choice, but of the will of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation too will be liberated from its bondage to decay when Jesus comes again, when the sons of God are revealed. So all of creation will be redeemed, Romans 8 tells us. So we can see these things about it's not going to pass away. It's established forever and ever. We can affirm that because in the redemption reality of the new heavens and the new earth, nothing good will be lost. Nothing that is good and worth keeping will be lost. Just sin and sorrow and death and sickness and the shadow and the curse. All of that will be gone. But everything else will be kept and perfected to the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. This is now the second psalm in a row where we have snow, by the way. All you snow haters out there. The Bible celebrates snow. So it's God's creation, and it's part of what praises God. So it's fire and hail and mist and stormy wind. They show the power of God. They show the judgment of God. They also show the grace of God and the beauty of God and the provision of God is all seen in this. And this is where a sanctified poetic imagination can help us to see these things, right? Can help us to see fire and hail as images of judgment, right? Of destruction, of the curse, of the fall. And snow, I love snow as a picture of God's grace. It blankets everything with white and beauty, right? But the reality is that it gets messed up very quickly once people get a hold of it, right? And mist, sort of the mist sort of shrouds everything in a mysterious beauty. Stormy wind, the power of God, which is both a provision as it brings rain, but it also can bring destruction. So the more you meditate on creation with a sanctified, that is a scripture-informed, spirit-controlled poetic imagination, a sanctified poetic imagination can help you to really get into Psalms like Psalm 148 and go outside and just see, just have your eyes opened and look around and say, what a wonderful, wonderful creation God has made. It shows us his power, his beauty, his glory, his strength, his might, his provision, his judgment, his curse, his wrath, his provision, his mercy is all revealed through creation when we look at creation through the lens of Scripture guided by the Holy Spirit. All right, mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. So here the idea is God provides things that give food and shelter, and then the things that get the food and shelter from those things, right? So this is, again, part of what God provides. Animals and birds are all in the world, and they need shelter and they need food, and God provides both, and he provides both very, very faithfully. But of course, the crowning jewel of God's creation are people. And so the last group that is called upon to praise the Lord, it's building progressively. The last group that's called upon to praise the Lord are the kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. This is a comprehensive way of talking about everybody on earth, not only the kings, but all the peoples and the princes and the rulers and the young men and the maidens and the old men and the children, everybody, because we're made by God, we're made in God's image. We're sustained by God. We're blessed by God every day. Jesus says that God makes his sun to rise and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So every person who's drawing breath on the face of the earth has every reason to praise the Lord. And the fact that we don't is a sign of our twisted hearts and our darkened, sinful nature. But we who belong to God by grace, we who have had our hearts changed by the Holy Spirit can rise above that, and we can join with the angelic chorus and with the testimony of creation, and we can praise the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Now horn, the shofar, the ancient Israelite horn, ram's horn, that would be used to call the people to praise. Yes, that's one application of this imagery of horn. But also raised up a horn in biblical language, in ancient language, is a ruler, an authority. So ultimately, this points us even to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he is the horn that has been raised up for the people of God to be our king, to be our shepherd, to be our Lord. And he is the ultimate reason why we should praise the Lord. For the people of Israel who are near to him, we are the people of God, and we are near to the heart of God because of Jesus our Savior, who is Emmanuel, God with us. So Psalm 148 builds through all of creation to focus on people, and then to focus on the people of God and our Savior and our nearness to God as the ultimate reason that we should praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the power and beauty and goodness of your creation. But we rejoice even more in the horn whom you have raised up for your people. The Lord Jesus Christ is both our King and our ruler and the one who calls us to praise you in the deepest and truest way. Father, would you stir our hearts to be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ with joyful gratitude and to respond to this call to praise you with enthusiasm, with gratitude, that we might be clear about who you are, that we might shine a spotlight on you for the world to see, that we might boast in you and the world might hear, that we might, along with Psalm 148, call the angels and all creation and all peoples of the earth to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed our time in Psalm 148 this morning, and I'm looking forward to being in Psalm 149 on Wednesday morning. So I hope you can make it out for that 8:30 Wednesday morning, Psalm 149. Have a blessed day in the Lord.